see the world your way, and I'm not afraid to follow. I see the world your way, and I'm not ashamed to say so. I see the Jesus way, and I'm walking in the light.
God's blessings, and welcome to Walking in Faith. I'm your host, Barbara Schinkel. We're heading into the 27th week of Ordinary Time, and this week we proclaim, "With your will, O Lord, all things are established, and there is none that can resist your will. For you have made all things, the heaven and the earth, and all that is held within the circle of heaven. You are the Lord of all." Our prayer this week, Almighty, ever-living God, who in the abundance of your kindness surpass the merits and desires of those who entreat you, pour out your mercy upon us, to pardon what conscience dreads, and to give what prayer does not dare to ask. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In today's show, we're really going to focus in on those people who do the most godly work, I think, in this world, and that is to care for those who are in need, the sick and the suffering. And we have a new ministry right here in the Archdiocese. It's called Nourish for Caregivers. And it was just started out of the Office of the New Evangelization. We're going to speak with Amy Gustaitis, and she's going to tell us about what's going on here in Philadelphia. But first up, we're going to speak with the authors who actually have a new caregiver's companion book for the Nourish Ministry. They actually started the program out in the Midwest after their own lives were impacted by caregiving. And those two interviews are coming right up after prayer, and we'll have a quick message from Father Chris Walsh. But right now, let's start with prayer. We pray that the Holy Father, the bishops, and all pastors be led by the Holy Spirit and lead us all closer to our home in heaven. And this month of October, the Holy Father's intention is that we pray that by the virtue of baptism, the laity, especially women, may participate more in areas of responsibility in the church. And we also pray that those who hold public office will imitate the goodness of God, who secures justice and the rights of all the oppressed. And that during this Respect Life Month, we work more fervently to advance the gospel of life. We also pray that our parish will grow in holiness through deeper devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Most Holy Rosary. We also pray for blessings on all husbands and wives, and that the Lord will strengthen marriages that are in trouble and bless those who are preparing for marriage. We also pray for the grace this week to offer to the Lord the good fruit of our faith, hope, and love. Loving Father, let the peace of heaven that surpasses all understanding guard our hearts and minds through Christ our Lord. Amen. And we're going to catch up with Father Chris Walsh as he offers us this quick meditation for the week.
Good morning, friends, and happy October. Today, October the 1st, is the feast of Saint Therese of the Child Jesus. She's a very, very popular saint. Therese died when she was only 24 from tuberculosis. In the late 1800s. She had lived most of her life in that region. Her sisters had entered the Carmelite convent before her, and then she followed them there. Therese is known for her little way, small things with great love. But that was not how she originally lived. As a child, having lost her mom to cancer when she was young, she was very spoiled. She was also very anxious. Some would say almost compulsively so, but she was freed from that by the grace of God. At the age of 14, she had a rather mystical experience where she said she gave herself over to the passion of Christ. She united herself more closely with our crucified Lord. And in that moment, again, 14 years old, she said to God that she would strive for the rest of her life to never be selfish. A 14-year-old girl from a rather well-off family, a 14-year-old who was also the youngest child in the family. She was prone to be selfish and self-centered and self-absorbed, and yet through the grace of God makes this vow to not be selfish, to think of others more than herself in imitation of our crucified Lord. Friends, let's make that choice today. There are so many little ways that selfishness gets in the way. When we're driving, in a store, in conversations, as we're talking about our political or religious views, We focus on ourself and advancing ourself and trying to get our way. At least that's what I do. And I think many of you struggle with it as well. Look upon the cross of Christ. Know that it's here that we find joy. Therese is so often pictured with in pictures and in artwork, you know, holding flowers, you know, Therese the little flower. She saw herself as a little flower in the garden of God, but also the crucifix, because it was through her meditations on Christ crucified that she really grew in holiness. And the same will happen for us. Hold a crucifix in your hands today. Look at what he did for you so selflessly, and pray for the grace to overcome any selfishness in you. May God bless you and keep you and shine his light upon you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And for those of you in the Philadelphia area, we do begin COVID testing at St. Raymond's today through Thomas Jefferson, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Thursdays, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturdays. No appointment needed. Come by. Let's wipe this virus out. God be praised, and God bless you today.
And we'll be right back with the Nourish Caregiving Ministry interviews. So stay tuned. Welcome back. Joining us right now are Deborah Kelsey Davis and Kelly Johnson, the author of a new book called The Caregiver's Companion, a Christ-centered journal to nourish your soul. Welcome, ladies.
Welcome. Thank you. We appreciate it. We're glad to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, first of all, I want to talk about the book, and then we're going to talk about the Nourish Ministry, which is just exploding right now across many archdioceses in the United States and other places as well. But you know what really surprised me? And I was looking at and we're talking about the subject of caregiving. 80% of all needs of these are being met by families. That really shocked me. The number is so high.
So this is Deb, and I have to say, I'm a nurse by training. It shocked me too. And you want to hear something a little more shocking? Today with COVID, that number is near 90%.
Wow.
Of all healthcare is being provided at home by family members.
Well, this is a book about caregiving. It's not really a book. I'm not going to say it that much because it's so much more. It's interactive. It's a journal. But let's talk about your own experiences and how you came to identify this and help begin a ministry to solve it. We'll start with, we'll start with you, Deb.
Sure. So, as I said, I'm a nurse. And when my mother-in-law was diagnosed with head and neck cancer, my sister-in-law, who's also in healthcare, and I stepped up and said, hey, we can do this, no problem. As her condition worsened and she required more care, we stepped right into that as well and cared for her at home. So I thought it was going to be easy, but boy, was I wrong. What I wasn't prepared for was the emotional and spiritual toll that it took on me. Not only had I isolated myself from my friends and many others, I had isolated myself from God. With walking my mother-in-law to the gates of heaven, I emerged from that feeling as though I'd lost myself in that process. And I felt like I had been hit by a spiritual depletion like none I'd known, and I discovered I was clinically depressed. So it could happen to me, and I thought, wow, I'm equipped as a nurse. How do other people do this? So with that, I went to my church, St. Mary of Goshen in Downers Grove, and I said, we've got to do something. Can we do something, some program? And that hands it right over to you, Kelly. And that and Deb's story certainly resonated with, as I was the adult faith person at our parish and currently still. And her story resonated with a lot of the stories that I had been hearing from other parishioners of people who were stepping into the role of being a family caregiver. So when she said she was interested in doing a workshop, it certainly made sense. And we quickly realized that it wasn't just a one-part workshop, one and done, that this needed to be an ongoing ministry. So that was how Nourish for Caregivers came into being, is creating a ministry to nourish the practical and emotional as well as the spiritual side of caregivers, because there really was not anything that recognized how important our faith is during this time of this difficult caregiving time.
Kelly, I like your story too, because when we think of caregiving, we often think of elderly, but there are many families that have unexpected things that happen in their family where they have to totally turn around their lives to help a family member. Talk about your story.
Oh, thank you. My story is a little bit different than caring for an elderly. When my son was 5, he was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And it was completely unexpected. One day he was jumping on rocks across a waterfall. And the next day we were in an ambulance to have him be diagnosed with this brain tumor, and quickly followed by surgery, followed by chemo and radiation treatment. So the spoiler alert of that is that he is a 22-year-old college student, not without some repercussions of his brain tumor, some learning differences, but he is medically boring and is a wonderful young man. So, yeah. Yes. And what has happened then is that Deb and I have come at caregiving from two different angles. Deb, as she shared with you, is caring for a mother-in-law and cares for her parents, and then I caring for a child with disabilities.
Right. That's why I wanted to chime in there too, because this book really can hit you at very many different levels. So I don't know, there's some people who were, it's thrust upon them unexpectedly in a situation where it's a young member of a family, and maybe as parents are aging, you have a little more time to, not a lot, but a little more time to kind of think about it and piece through it. And we're going to talk about all those different aspects of making decisions. But I just wanted to also just point out, first of all, the Caregiver's Companion, A Christ-Centered Journal to Nourish Your Soul, is very beautiful. It's got, every page has got color on it. There's space for you to write in. Talk about the intentionality that you made when you, what were the must-haves when you put this together?
This is Kelly speaking. We are very blessed in the Caregiver's Companion and the beautiful work that Ave Maria Press did and their creative departments as they were putting it together. Certainly an answer to a prayer, because as Deb and I were writing the book and laying it out, we really wanted that idea of a journal to be there, and a journal that helps to guide you to see that you may be encountering this particular situation. You may be feeling stressed or isolated, or you're having a hard time, but there's a way to overcome that, and there's a way to step into our faith. The other aspect of this is the scripture throughout it is absolutely beautiful and ties to the different topics, of course, but the way in which they did that the book is and the journal is put together, like you said, is interactive and just a beautiful experience and to provide and nurture you as you're going along your caregiving journey.
Deb, you write that caregiving triggered a collision course between your career and your faith, causing you to leave the corporate world to care for your mother-in-law, as you told us earlier. You said you were not prepared for the emotional crisis and spiritual isolation that came with caregiving. I'm sure many people can relate to that. You're going, in a really busy, full, active 9-to-5 life to some days just maybe sitting next to somebody and feeling, overwhelmed.
Yes, and I will share with you that, like I said, I was really not prepared for that. I wasn't overwhelmed by the clinical aspects of it, the tasks I had to do, because I'm pretty good at organizing things. That is a gift and a blessing for me. Rather, it was dealing with the emotional aspects, almost the compassion fatigue, if you will. I couldn't sleep. I literally, at times, took on some of her pain and emotion. I think people who are highly empathetic may have a tendency to do that. I know I did. We talk about that in the book too, about that kind of compassion fatigue. And, you know, I was the last person to ever imagine that I'd become depressed, but I did. I did. And there's nothing to be ashamed about that. In fact, you know, with COVID right now and the pandemic upon us and the isolation with that, I would just say to everyone out there who's listening, know that you're not alone, and know that there are ways out. And it usually is leaning on your faith and others to help you through it. And that's what helped me.
One of the aspects of the book that I found sort of a reoccurring theme is this living in the present moment. So often we're worried about what's going to happen in the future, or maybe feeling guilty about what we didn't do in the past, or maybe there's some uncomfortability with a relationship. But to really find your focus in this now moment, which can be boring, you know, in some fields of caregiving, talk a little bit, either of you, about how you can live in the present moment, in the precious moment that God gives us in the midst of the maybe sometimes boring work of caregiving.
So this is Deb, and I'll just continue on by saying that I didn't do that well my go round with my mother-in-law, because I was too caught up in all the to-dos. But what I've learned, and I will say that in the area where we talk about taking one day at a time, I had to stop and reflect on our Lord's Prayer. You know, we give us today our daily bread. It's an amazingly peaceful feeling when you can wake up every morning and realize you're not living in survival mode, that you are actually living in today's moments, and there are gifts in them, and trusting the Lord that you're going to get what you need for today, and let go of your worries about what happened yesterday or what's going to happen tomorrow. And one of the things that we talk about in here is there's the Daily Decalogue from Pope John the 23rd, and I'll just give you one of them, which is, just for today, I will live positively without trying to solve all my problems at once. That's really powerful, and I use these to help me even now just remember to focus on the present moment, on just today.
And I think as we are living in the present moment, that's where we experience God. God is in the present. And as we are in the present, even in the boring stuff and even in the daily routine, that we can see that God is there with us. And that is where the gifts and the blessings are. And as Deb pointed out, you know, we've included in the journal some of these practical ways to begin to, in this case, recognize God in the present moment. And kind of really encourage through the prayers and through the reflections, and also some practical applications to begin to see God right here in the present with us.
That requires a lot of trust, too. That's also something I think so many of us, we want to control everything and tell God, like, what needs to happen rather than just trusting in Him.
Yes, and that's what the Serenity Prayer comes in very handy. And we talk about that as well in the journal.
Yeah.
You know, it's surrender.
Yeah, and trust. I love that. Well, let's talk about stress too, because that is got to be something that I imagine that if you have a family, you're always worried about balancing. Am I giving enough time to the people I'm not caregiving to? Am I giving enough time to myself? Talk a little bit about how you guys dealt with that and how important it is to figure out your stress levels.
Stress levels are a big part of it. And understanding too that, you know what, stress isn't always a bad thing. It begins obviously with that surrender and trust that God can use everything for good. And stress is one of those things where it might just be that red flag, that warning signal that you need to take a pause and turn around and begin to take a look at what is not right now. You know, it's sort of like when you touch a hot stove, you got to pull back a little bit. Well, stress may be an opportunity to pull back a little bit and take a look at, you know, is there something not happening with the family that I need to look at? Or am I not taking care of myself? Do I need to be communicating better? You know, it's an opportunity only God can, to use all things for His good and to really take a look at what we're doing.
And this is Deb. I would also say that there's a reality of stress, and oftentimes we don't realize how stressed we truly are. We actually have a caregiver stress test, so it's designed for caregivers, that's on our website, and it's also mentioned here in the book, and encourage everyone to check in with yourself. Find out where you are, where your real stress levels are, and then take some action. And one of the things we point out here is, you know, setting boundaries. You know, how do you begin to address these things, you know, certainly through prayer, through meditation, and also learning to set boundaries and remembering that even Christ said, no, not now. And, you know, if we can learn to do that for ourselves, we can better care for our loved ones by removing that stress from our lives.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because you talk a lot about prayer and journaling. The idea that, first of all, you need to take time away, as Christ did at those late night prayer sessions with his father, and then maybe kind of put it to paper to help resolve some of that. How important is that? And I want to just mention the book again is called The Caregiver's Companion. It's put out by Ave Maria Press, and it has so many different scriptural quotes. It's got advice from the saints. It's got spaces for you to journal in. It's a really great resource. Go ahead, either Kelly or Deb.
You asked us earlier what are some of the must-haves as we were putting the book together, and that was one of the things that was very important to us, is the idea of it being a journal, because there's so many benefits of journaling. If you don't journal already, you need to start journaling. You know, there's the physical of reducing stress and taking away anxiety. But I think one of the interesting things about journaling, and as you're working through the caregiver's companion, is you begin to see that some of the concerns and some of the worries that you may have are you actually have, and especially as you're journaling in through prayer, as Christ is helping you with that, begin to see some of the answers and solutions that present themselves as you're working through your issues through journaling. So it's really helpful for finding awareness and solutions to the myriad of problems and opportunities that crop up as we're caregiving. So it really becomes a way to process and to continue to grow and to work through the journey and the efforts of caregiving. So it really becomes a means of encouragement as well.
Do either of you have a recommendation about how much time someone who feels they have the burden of caregiving should spend with this? What's the minimal amount of time, or is there one? And when do you recommend? It's just when it works for your schedule?
So this is Deb, and I would love to say that, you know, as I'm an active caregiver even today, that, you know, I could set aside an hour. Some days maybe, but I would say that the one thing that everyone should think about when you're picking this up is, number one, pick it up and focus just where you are today. The topics that are in here are not meant to be taken in order. So, for example, if today you're simply struggling because you've got to make a decision, then go to the chapter on Are You Stuck at the Crossroads of Indecision and Making Decisions with Discernment and Faith. I would say that the beautiful part of this is that you can pick it up, but I would suggest doing it in a quiet spot. That's where I would start. Find somewhere quiet. Find somewhere you can steal away. And even if it's for 5 minutes at first, start small. Do not pressure yourself. And then build upon it and keep coming back to it. Because what you're going to find is that as you come back and you look at maybe something you wrote one day, you come back the next, well, your situation's changed and you can see it in a new light, and you can share that as well in the journal.
I also wanted to ask about family, and this is really what we're talking about with elderly parents. It sometimes becomes difficult. A lot of family issues come to the fore, and there's maybe a right way to go forward, but not everyone is on board. This book also addresses that too.
It does, and I'll start out with the family dynamics. Communicate. Communication is the core and the central piece to all of this, because it's, whenever possible, we want to preserve our family bond. The other thing I would say is, you know, our childhood relationships and personalities, you know, we pretty much have those our whole lives. And oftentimes when you're dealing with an aging parent, they get magnified amongst the siblings. At least I found that with my own family. And so recognize that. And instead of focusing on the negative, so for example, my brother recognizes in me, I'm a strong, I'm the eldest, so I have a lot of opinions on things. Well, he looks at that and he says, okay, you're a great organizer. So I get to do all the things that take my skills and use them wisely. My brother's more quiet. Well, he's a great listener. He knows how to negotiate. So again, take a look at what we have as our gifts instead of considering them negatives. And I think that really helps in managing some of these family dynamics.
And I think the other part of that is understanding that as we're in families, for the most part, everybody is trying, you know, everybody's rowing in the same direction. Everybody's trying to get to the same place, and everybody is comes at it maybe with a different point of view, and those different points of view, as Deb has pointed out, and different talents, and can all be used to the best and to care for and provide the best care, say, if you're caring for your parents. And then that honor and respect becomes a big part of your communications with each other, as you recognize that there are differences between you, but those differences can be for the best. And just letting respect surface as you're in conversation and looking for the best for the person that you're caring for.
Kelly, I want you to speak briefly about how couples survive something that becomes an unexpected but all-consuming caregiving role that is thrust upon you. How does a marriage take that in and thrive in that situation?
Oh, that is a big one, because caregiving can be very difficult, especially on a marriage as you're caring for a child. And I think a big part of that was for us, and I will speak for me personally, that we did recognize the gifts that each one of us had. And so we were able kind of to divide and conquer, if you will, on some of the tasks that we needed to do. And the other tremendous blessing that I think that we had is being able to put aside any sort of why me, why us, why him, and just be able to, you know, back to that surrender it to the Lord and say, okay, I'm not sure why you have this in store for him and in store for us, but here you go, Lord, it's yours, and help us to do your will in this, and help us as we journey through this. And then in that place of surrender, we were able to, as a married couple, say, you know, here we go. It's yours, Lord.
I do want to mention, too, that the book addresses creating memories and how you do that, and then how you address the end if it is an aging parent and you sense that the end is near. There's those beautiful chapters on those as well. But as we close, ladies, I did want to focus in on, you know, this book is something that everyone who is in a caregiving situation should get. But we also have more resources available in our second half of our show. We're going to speak with a local person here in the Philadelphia area. And ladies, I want you to talk about the Nourish Ministry that's now available in parishes across the country. How wonderful is this that we have not only the book, but the resource as a community together? Talk a little bit about that ministry.
Well, it is just so exciting to see in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia how you have embraced the Nourish Ministry, recognizing this need of caregivers and recognizing how we as church can step in and be a beacon of light and hope amidst the caregiving journey. And it's so exciting to know that caregivers can get together right now during the pandemic virtually as well as in person to receive the practical, emotional, and spiritual supports that caregivers need.
And we're going to get more information in the next half hour on where those resources are locally. But part of this ministry, and you can, if it's not at your parish, Deb and Kelly, you can start one in your own parish, correct?
Yes, you can. And we'd love to help you do that. They're on our website, www.nourishforcaregivers.com. There's a tremendous amount of information and background, and there's places where you can say, hey, I need help starting this in my church. Can you help me? And we will be right there beside you.
And it's pretty much all worked out for you in terms of the organization and the planning. It's just sort of a plug-in program that you can use and has had tremendous success. I love the fact that you have daily house calls. Talk a little bit about that in the ministry.
That was one of the blessings that came out of the pandemic, is that we realized that nobody's getting together in person, but yet caregivers still have needs. So we quickly pivoted to develop these daily house calls. And Amy, who you will be hearing from shortly, is a big part of that as well, as we recognize the need that caregivers have and created this opportunity for caregivers to call in, and we share scriptures, share our stories, and continue to nourish each other even through this pandemic.
And again, as we close, we were talking about, you said 90% of all healthcare because of the pandemic is given by or provided by a family caregiver. And there's significant stress levels with that. There's also depression and isolation. Sometimes you feel like you can't do it all, and sometimes you feel torn between an elderly parent and your own family, and where are you going to find the time and how are you going to do it all? This is a ministry that speaks to all of those needs. And as we close, Deb and Kelly, just give us a summation of how important this is to do in community and why it's important to recognize it and to actually deal with the underlying issues that come up when you're caregiving.
Well, this is Deb, and I would say that, you know, where two or more are gathered, you know, we know that Christ is amongst us. Doing it in community, whether that's in person or whether that's remote via Zoom or some other virtual mechanism, you feel that presence of Christ. And the reason we want to do this even more now is that the COVID-19 pandemic has stressed families who are providing care in ways that are more severe than ever before. The rate of suicide, the rate of, you know, all the stressors and depression leading up to that have skyrocketed. So what we want to do is bring Christ to people who are struggling and people maybe who aren't, but will need that from a faith-based resilience perspective, so that they too can find those blessings during their caregiving journey.
And I think the other part of that is to remember that we were, you know, made for community. We were birthed into a family, and we were made from and in the image and like the likeness of a triune God. And community is such an important part of who we are. And it certainly is a part when we're going through difficult times such as caregiving.
Again, we're speaking with Deborah Kelsey Davis and Kelly Johnson, the authors of a new book put out by Ave Maria Press called The Caregiver's Companion. It's a Christ-centered journal to nourish your soul. We're also talking about the Nourish Ministries that are available online in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And we come back from the break. We'll speak with Amy about that local ministry. But ladies, as we leave you, can we leave in prayer, which is such an important part, as you say, of the whole journey?
If it would be okay with you, we'd love to share a prayer from our caregiver companion
about
needing to stay engaged.
Yeah, wonderful.
So we begin, Lord Jesus, my soul yearns for a melody that brings joy and hope and peace into my cluttered, hectic days. I'm so worn, my thoughts jump willy-nilly, never settling, skittering from one worry to the next. Preoccupied with caring for another, I give no thought to myself, and sometimes, I'm sorry, Lord, no thought to you. Forgive me. Bring me back. Startle me from my preoccupation so that I may listen more carefully. Surprise me with a song of your love. I trust you to lead me into your dance, into your embrace, into your love, where all my fears are cast aside. You are pure, honest, holy, and true. I cast aside the distractions of today, and I think only of you for this moment. With your help, I hold captive my thoughts to rest in you. I settle into your presence and bask in your love. For it is you, it is in you that my mind and body and soul is fully engaged. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful.
Amen.
Well, Deborah Kelsey Davis and Kelly Johnson, thank you so much, not only for writing the book, but starting the ministry in such an important and I think growing topic in all of our lives today. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you.
And we'll be back right after the station identification. You are listening to Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown and 1420 AM in Coatesville and Chester County.
We would understand. You are the rock of salvation, the only foundation.
Okay, so it's 215 345
Okay.
1570.
Okay.
Okay. And how do you pronounce your last name, Amy?
Gustitis.
Gustitis? Gustitis, right?
Yep, Gustitis. Okay. You sort of swallow the T.
Gustitis.
Yes.
All right.
Gustitis.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll get started on this one. And thank you so much for helping us on the other one.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right. Welcome back. Joining us right now is Amy Gustitis, and she is here to talk about a new Nourish ministry coming to or here already in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Welcome, Amy.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, this is nourishforcaregivers.org. We've just recently spoken with the founders of the program, but we're so excited that it's right here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. We're one of the first, I think, areas to really bring this full force to the area.
Yes, that's exactly correct. Nourish is a nationwide ministry, and it is offered in several archdioceses throughout the country. But definitely the Archdiocese of Philadelphia has taken a major lead in the fact that we now have it in 10 parishes throughout the five-county area. Which is great. It gives everybody, you know, a bunch of different times and locations to choose from and different days of the week. Some meet in the evening, some meet during the day, and some meet on the weekend. So, and also we offer virtual as well as in-person meetings, which is can be really helpful for caregivers because they don't always know what their schedule is going to be.
Again, we're talking about nourishforcaregivers.com. Or org. I'm not quite sure which one it was.
.com.
Okay. Yeah. And Amy, who are the people that should be interested in looking up or potentially coming to one of these meetings? Who are we targeting here?
Generally, people who are caring for an aging or perhaps disabled loved one. It's not necessarily based on the age of the person for whom you're caring. It's just the fact that you're providing physical and emotional and spiritual support for someone else in your life. So we have people whose loved ones maybe have dementia or Parkinson's or perhaps are cancer survivors, as well as people who are caring for children with disabilities, intellectual or physical disabilities. So there's a whole gamut of people that call in or who come into the meetings and explain and express what's going on in their lives.
And Amy, I was looking at some of the statistics and I was quite surprised. Can you run through those for us? I can't imagine the number. I think it's 65 million that are family caregivers for a loved one in their home or in their lives. And 3 out of 4 of the people that are doing it are also working a job. You can give us those numbers.
Yes, absolutely. It's an enormous amount of people in our country that are affected. If you think about, there's approximately 3 million people in the United States, and 65 million of them are actively caring for a loved one, and sometimes they're actually caring for more than one person. You can see that it affects 1/6 of the population. I would imagine that anybody who would be listening either has been a caregiver, is currently a caregiver, or will be a caregiver, and most certainly probably knows a caregiver.
And talk a little bit about the uniqueness of nourishforcaregivers.com, because this isn't just, hey, we know you're stressed out or you're depressed. This really builds a Christ-centered focus into what you're doing.
Yes, there's other opportunities out there for caregivers to learn about the services that are available from more of a social work perspective, as well as, maybe emotional support and grief support groups. But Nourish is on the leading edge in terms of offering a ministry that specifically is Christ-centered, and that by bringing in that spiritual component,
we're not just necessarily grieving or sad or feeling hopeless about the situation, because we know that for every Good Friday, there's an Easter Sunday, and that we're actually carrying our loved ones to the gates of heaven and looking forward to eternal life. And that hope, being the basis of Nourish, it can make all the difference for people in terms of trying to get through maybe just a bad day, or, you know, perhaps they just need some lifting up and, you know, offering a different perspective in terms of what they're doing. Caregivers are often isolated, and you might not even necessarily know that someone is caring for a loved one. You might notice perhaps that they don't come out of the house as much, or maybe they stopped, you know, attending church or coming to a certain restaurant or group or whatever. But oftentimes people who are caring for loved ones sort of fall into the shadows, and they do suffer with depression and anxiety, and they're very lonely and isolated. And you can see how quickly that can lead to hopelessness. So Nourish shines a light into that darkness, if you will, and offers an outstretched hand to say, you know, you're not alone, and that God loves you, and God wants you to be happy. You know, he's not just asking that we be obedient and sacrificial, but he wants us to know that he's a merciful and loving God, and that he wants us to be happy, and he wants us to feel full of hope. And that even though this time may be sad or dark, that you really are doing something that is changing the course of history, in the fact that you're caring for someone and you're helping them to achieve eternal life.
We're speaking with Amy Gustaitis, and we're talking about the nourishforcaregivers.com ministry here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Amy, talk a little bit about how people can find this, tap into it, where it is, which parishes it are at, and how do we do this in a time of COVID?
Sure. Well, Nourish is in, I can read you the following parishes. In Bucks County, they're at St. Andrew in Newtown. In Chester County, they're at St. Anne in Phoenixville. St. Elizabeth's in Chester Springs, St. Isaac Jogues in Wayne, and St. Peter in West Brandywine. In Delaware County, they're at St. Anastasia in Newtown Square, and Nativity BVM in Media. In Montgomery County, they're in Epiphany of Our Lord in Plymouth Meeting, and St. Rose of Lima in North Wales. And most recently, St. John the Baptist in Manayunk joined us, and they are in the Philadelphia County region. So, if you go on to the Office for the New Evangelization website, that's the board that Megan Coakley runs through the Archdiocese. She runs a specific office where, you know, they proclaim the good news about the various ministries and spiritual opportunities that are going on. She brought Nourish to Caregivers to the Archdiocese and, you know, was answering a call that she was seeing from the flock. So if you go to this webpage, and you can look and see that there's the different parishes and the different times that are available, and also too, there's email contacts. You can just click the link and you can go directly and ask the specific parish's information. And in addition to that, we do in-person meetings, and we also do virtual meetings. So if you're not comfortable coming out because of COVID, or perhaps you're not able to leave your loved one alone, there's several different options in terms of participation.
Yes, Amy, that's great. And talk a little bit about what people can expect. Like, what are the topics that you're going to be discussing, or why they would join the group?
Sure. Well, we try and focus on topics that are about caring for the caregiver. So that's a little bit different than, let's say, if you were going to a presentation on dementia, where you're learning about dementia, and you're trying to understand more about a certain aspect of it, but you're not necessarily getting the emotional and spiritual support that you need as a caregiver. So when you come to a Nourish group, you would expect to find topics such as, you know, that focus on getting organized and, you know, sort of staying ahead of your grief. This month we're talking about compassion and how compassion fatigue can set in when you've been a caregiver and you really don't get a day off. And how can we bring self-care into the lives of caregivers? So it's those kind of topics that are relevant. We also infuse maybe like a, you know, what's going on with the church, at that time that might be going on. Maybe there's a special, maybe there's a gospel message from the week that is particularly relevant, or a specific prayer or a saint. So you'll find each meeting has its own unique flavor depending upon who's facilitating it and who attends the meetings. But they're all rooted in the same basic practical, emotional, and spiritual principles.
And it's wonderful to get together as community. Isn't that part of this also, that, you know, you can try and do this alone, you can try and go online and find the resources, you can try to listen to some of these things, but this interactive dialogue with people who actually are doing this and can share with each other the ways that they're getting through it must be invaluable.
It is. I mean, we time and time again get feedback from the attendees that they're so grateful that they found Nourish, and that they're quick to share the good news about the ministry with other people they know in similar circumstances. And that even if, you know, Nourish is not trying to solve everybody's problems, but rather they're looking, as you were saying, you know, where two or three are gathered, you know, there is Jesus in our midst. And that's very palpable with the Nourish ministry. There's a lot of encouragement. And I think one of the most valuable components of the program is the sharing between the caregivers. For instance, you might have somebody who has already been at that phase of caring for a loved one, and they can turn and say to somebody who's just getting started, I was in your shoes once, and you'll get through it, and this is how I did it. And that really can make all the difference in the world, because if you have a good heart and you're, you know, you're well-intentioned, that's great too. But I think that the most important part of the wisdom comes from between the caregivers, because they're really walking the walk, and they're able to express and to dig deep, and to, you know, their comments really resonate with the other caregiver attendees.
Sure. Amy, talk a little bit about how you got involved in this.
Sure. I have a background in nursing and law, and I had been talking with Megan Coakley about possibly starting a ministry that would specifically be about bringing support to caregivers. And, you know, as the Holy Spirit would have it, Megan had discovered the Nourish program, and we spoke quite a bit about bringing it to the Archdiocese. And she had invited me to lead the program up for, you know, for her office and for the Archdiocese. So I'm able to use my, you know, professional background and my spiritual background and be able to help different parishes get up and running, and to serve as a resource for, you know, people in the Archdiocese if they need to learn more about caregiving, or any aspect really of care. I've worked in long-term care, assisted living, independent living, skilled nursing, and hospice and home care. So I have a really good understanding of what it's like to work on the inside of communities, as well as how the healthcare system works in general, and some of the struggles that caregivers face trying to navigate the complexity of the different systems that are out there, whether it's for a loved one who's aging or a loved one who's disabled.
If someone wants to bring this to their parish, if they don't have it in an area close by, and they just want to do it with people in their own parish, how hard is it to start up? I mean, I would imagine that caregivers don't have a lot of time. How easy is this to unroll, and how do people do this if they want to bring it to their parish?
Well, I think Deb Kelsey Davis and Kelly Johnson have done a fantastic job of creating a product that is online, and you would look to whoever is going to be sponsoring it. Maybe it's an individual, maybe it's a parish, or maybe it's being run through a particular home health agency or a hospice or an assisted living community, or perhaps a developmentally disabled community. And they would then contact Nourish for Caregivers. And generally the fee is about $540 for the program, which gives you about a year's worth of material, or 12 sessions worth. And you are able to access it online immediately, and then you can download the topics, you can download outlines for each of the meetings, you can download other supportive resources, whether it's liturgical or spiritual or biblical, and then they also have online presentations specifically that they made because in response to COVID, so that if you're running a virtual ministry, you don't have to, you know, reinvent the wheel. You can just use the presentations that they already have. And I know from my own experience, each of the 12 topics, you could talk about multiple times, but you never would have quite the same meeting. Because a lot of times what happens at the meetings is that people come and they have their questions or they have their experiences, and that sort of seasons the way the meeting goes. So, you know, even the 12 topics in themselves, there's still multiple layers to each topic.
Wonderful. Yeah, it sounds like it's pretty easy to do in terms of not having to have to cull all the resources yourself. And I was looking online. They do. They have like, here's your meeting. Here's a, you know, a thing to study or think about. You read it and then there's questions. So it's pretty well organized in terms of like you're not fumbling around when the meeting starts trying to figure out where to take it. It's pretty self-explanatory, which is wonderful. And the questions that they ask, you know, I would imagine discussions, I don't know if you've done this with your groups, but I imagine you would get a lot of different answers, and it really facilitates a lot of information.
It really is. You're right on point. I think that people, the facilitators, feel empowered because they have the tools and the materials right at their fingertips. And that allows them to be able to think more clearly and to be able to listen openly what's going on with the conversation and then be able to direct it. Because they're not worrying about, oh my gosh, you know, I didn't, you know, run that copy off, or I didn't make up this chart or whatnot. So I think that they make it as easy as possible and very convenient. And you don't necessarily have to be an expert in caregiving to facilitate a group. They give you the materials that you need. And if you're in the Philadelphia area, they do offer a 15% discount to parishes that are interested. And if you need help, I would be the person who could get you up and running and help you in terms of, you know, how specifically could you bring this to your parish? What would it look like? How would you, you know, tailor it to your population? You know, or just basically be the boots on the ground if you need any support.
Yeah, it sounds great. Amy, why don't you give out the information? Let's give out the website again, or where they can tap in to find this information. If you want to bring a caregiver support group, which is Christ-centered, started by two women who are Catholic and have really kind of expanded this ministry all over the nation, but we have it right here in Philadelphia. And Amy, as we've been speaking, is the person, the point person. But let's give out that website information again.
Sure. For more information, you would go to www.nourishforcaregivers.com. And you can see that there's a ministry portal and there's directions where you can purchase the program online. And again, if you mention that you're from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, you can get a 15% discount.
And I do think there's a separate portal too. If you do go to the Archdiocesan website, go to the New Evangelization Office and then find that tab. You'll go right into Amy and all her contact information as well. And there's also a list on that website of all the different parishes that have it, the various times they meet. If they're meeting in person or virtually, it's all there.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, the goal is that we offer the meetings at different times and locations and days of the week, as well as, you know, mornings, afternoons, and evenings and weekends, so that caregivers don't always have to go to the same meeting. They're welcome to come to meetings that are convenient with their time, or even if they want to go to more than one meeting a month, Nourish is available for them.
Yes, and as I say, we just previously interviewed the women that wrote the book and the journal, and I highly recommend that. Again, that's called The Caregiver's Companion, and it's a Christ-centered journal to nourish your soul. This is for caregivers. You can find that available at Ave Maria Press. Amy, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks again for listening, and we'll be back again with you next week.
And I'm not afraid to follow. I see the world your way, and I'm not ashamed to say so. I see the Jesus way, and I'm walking in